Welcome also to Minnesota Reads, Minnesota Reads' regular feature of Thursdays here on KUMD. This morning, we're so happy to welcome Jacqueline Briggs Martin. She's the author of a fabulous picture book called Creek Finding. And I almost, I mean, the pictures, Jacqueline, are so lovely that they're a real integral part of the book, and they're part of what makes it so fabulous. But I wish there was a better way to maybe I should say that it's illustrated instead of a picture book, because it's a great read.
Good.
It's a great read for everybody, and it's a true story. Tell us about it.
Well, it is a true story, and first of all, I want to thank you for having me on to talk about the book. I love this story. I read about it in a report in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mike Osterholm bought a property right up in the corner of northeast Iowa. You could throw a rock and it would land in Minnesota. It's so close to Minnesota. He lives in the Twin Cities and works at the University of Minnesota, but he grew up in Iowa, and he wanted a place to come, kind of a weekend place to come. So he bought this farm and decided that he would restore the prairie. It had a hillside savanna, oak savanna, that he wanted to restore, and a prairie that had been a cornfield for many years that he wanted to restore as a prairie. He was out working in the prairie one day, and a neighbor came by and said, "I caught a brook trout in this cornfield when I was a boy." And Mike was at first curious at how could you catch a brook trout in a cornfield. But then he realized there must have been a spring-fed stream running through that cornfield. And he looked around the border, and he found the spring. It had been ditched. And he decided he wanted to restore that creek, to dig it out again and put rocks in the bottom and bring it back if he could. And, of course, his neighbors, who does that? Nobody does that. His neighbors said, "It won't work. You can't do it. The water will just sink into the ground." But Mike was determined, and he found an old map, aerial map, that showed him the path of the creek, and he brought in the machines to dig it out, put rocks in the bottom, and planted prairie plants on the side to stabilize the sides. Then they waited a couple of years. The creek did fill up. The water did not sink into the ground. And Mike said, I love this line, "It was as if the water remembered." Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that really is. It's beautiful.
Yes. So they waited a couple years, and they began to see sculpin in the creek. And sculpin are these tiny, odd-looking fish that nobody fishes for, but they do tell you if you have clean, clear water. They can only live in clean, clear water. So Mike knew that the creek was clear, that the water quality was good. And after a couple more years, they stocked it with brook trout. Brook trout are native to Iowa, but there's only one other stream in our state that can support them on their own. Other streams have them, but they have to be stocked. So he got brook trout from this one other stream, little fingerlings, and put them into the creek. And they grew and they grew, and let's see, they grew for a year and a half, and they laid eggs, and the next spring the eggs hatched. So that happened in 2011. That's when I read that story. And I just love the idea of restoring a creek. But the best part for me was he put the fish back in, but everything else came by itself. All of the insects that would be on a native Iowa creek came back. The birds came back. I read in the Gazette article that all the frogs known to be in Iowa were living around that creek, and it just fascinated me. I thought, how did the frogs know? This used to be a cornfield. How did the frogs know that that creek was there?
Was he able to go back into records and find out at what point the creek had been filled in so that...
Yeah.
Because, you know, if frogs remember after a couple of years, you can say, well, okay, frogs have better memories than we thought. But if frogs are coming back after like 50 years or 60 years, that's kind of groovy.
It's very groovy, and he was able to go back. I think the creek was filled in sometime in the 40s. We were trying to grow a lot of food, and the farmer wanted to grow more corn, so he filled in the creek. And what they think, I actually wrote the story to find out why the frogs came back, because I had this picture of frogs all over Iowa, heading across Iowa in droves through creek.
Their little froggy thumbs out, hoping to get a ride.
That's right. But frogs travel during rainstorms. They just kind of head out into new territory during rainstorms. And I'm sure frogs from western Iowa didn't get there, but whatever frogs were hanging out in Minnesota and northeast Iowa, maybe even Wisconsin, kind of move around. And they found the creek as they were traveling during their rainy travels.
Now, one of the other questions I have about this a little bit is the idea, somebody says, okay, I want to restore a creek on my property, and I'm picturing an aerial view, and I'm picturing the creek, just I'm imagining it squiggling across the person's, 10 acres or whatever. And then it gets to somebody else's property, and that person says, I do not want a creek. I have a perfectly lovely cornfield.
Yeah.
So happened when his creek restoration project hit the boundaries of somebody else's place? Did it just stop being creek and have to go back to being cornfield?
Well, fortunately for Mike, this creek starts at a spring, and it runs into another creek that is also on his property.
Oh, wonderful. So all he had to do was connect up the old chunk to the existing chunk.
That's right. So he didn't have that property question. The other thing that's interesting is he did have the aerial map, but because they wanted to restore it to prairie, they did not plant corn one spring before he had dug the creek. And he said they could see the drainage pattern in that field, and they put flags in where the water seemed to be kind of draining into its area in the field. And the flags they put in to mark the drainage pattern were only inches away from the aerial map of the creek. That somehow, I don't want to say the field's new. The field is not a consciousness, but there is something about the land.
It wants to sink down there.
It wanted to have water in that space.
It wanted, it was a low spot. It wanted water, and it wanted water running through that area.
That's right.
Tell us just briefly about your collaboration with your illustrator, because, wow, the pictures are absolutely gorgeous. Claudia McGeehee did the illustrations for this book, and they're just wonderful.
They are wonderful. And this is an unusual story of our collaboration. I have known Claudia for a long time, and I've always loved her art. And I have wanted to do a book with her. And I was thinking at the time that I read the story of Mike's Creek, what can I do with Claudia? I'd really like to do a book with her. And then I read this story, and I knew this was the book I wanted to do with her. So I told her about the story, and she agreed she would do it with me. And we began to talk to geologists, and we had a lot of questions for Mike. And we did the research together. I wrote the story and started sending it out, and that's a long story in itself. It started out as about 1,500 words. It ended up at about 400 words. But every time I sent it out, I sent out some of Claudia's drawings because I knew that I wanted this to be a joint project. I didn't want to sell the words and have somebody else do the illustrations. I really wanted Claudia to do it. And that's the first time for me, I've done about 22 books, that I have ever said, this is the illustrator that I want. Usually I just send out my words, and whoever they hook me up with,
right.
I've always had good luck. We've had good illustrators.
We've talked about how kind of it's a kind of counterintuitive, that is, that you would have an idea, and then you send it to your publisher, and they pick an illustrator, and away it goes. But after 22 books, maybe you had a little bit of weight to throw around. Maybe just a little bit.
I don't know. But I know that Claudia's illustrations speak for themselves. I mean, As you know from looking at the book, they are wonderful. And people, you know, didn't share a lot with me, editors, but nobody said, no, we don't want her to do the illustrations. In fact, the University of Minnesota Press, we had to wait because she was working on another project. And the editor, Eric, said to me, do you want to wait for Claudia or do you want someone else? And I said, oh, no, I want to wait for Claudia, of course. And he was very relieved because he wanted Claudia to do the illustrations, too. I can't picture the book without Claudia's illustrations.
It really is exquisite. And again, it is a wonderful story for all ages. It may be marketed or it may look like a picture book, but it really is a wonderful story. And it will, I think, it'll kind of make a lot of people think, I wonder if I could find a little patch of ground someplace and try to restore something similar. It just seems like wouldn't that be the coolest thing? Thank you so much, Jacqueline, for joining us this morning. It was great to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk about this book.
Jacqueline Briggs Martin this morning. She is the author, and Claudia McGehee is the illustrator of their book called Creek Finding, and it's based on a true story. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.